There's two sermons each year that are really hard. Christmas and Easter. You know me, I am an expositor verse by verse. And to have to come up with some thematic message, I have a hard time with. I've been praying about this for a couple of months. I thought I had it figured out about 2 weeks ago, and then God changed it on me. And so, I'm going to call it an original from God, because this was not an outline from somebody else. He laid something on my heart I wanted to share with you that Christmas has to do. So we'll see what happens. I've entitled this little devotional, The Message of Christmas, Love Came Down. The Message of Christmas, Love Came Down. So here we are. It's December the 24th, 2018. The close of yet another year, and humanity is a mess. Life is not sacred. If you got a problem in their life, murder. FBI statistics for 2017, 17,284 people were killed. Abortion. This is a staggering number. The CDC, Center for Disease Control, 2015 was the most recent figure I could find, 638,169 babies aborted. And if I quit being politically correct, babies killed. I won't say murdered, but babies killed. Okay. And then the new one on the horizon, assisted suicide. I was reading an article, I want to quote a passage from CNN. Physician-assisted suicide is legal in 7 U.S. states and the District of Columbia. It is an option given to individuals by law in the District of Columbia, Hawaii, Oregon, Vermont, and Washington. It is an option given to individuals in Montana via a court decision. Individuals must have a terminal illness as well as a prognosis of 6 months or less to live. Physicians cannot be prosecuted for prescribing medications to hasten death. So the sanctity of life is declining. Respect for the law is waning. I have a friend who's a retired police officer, and so she keeps up with all the police killings. Not police killing, you know, having drawn their weapons, but officers being killed. In this year, as of today, 51 police officers across the country have been killed in the line of duty. Respect for the law. Now, we see the respect for the law declining in little ways, like speeding. We won't point any fingers. Or jaywalking. Did you know that Phoenix, I think, has like the highest number right now of people killed because they're crossing the streets illegally and they're getting hit? I just saw that, yeah. I just saw Channel 3 was doing a thing on that the other day. And when I drive to work, I drive down Hatcher between 19th Avenue and 3rd Street. There are marked crosswalks about every half block, and yet the people in that area, they don't care. They just go trucking across, you know. But they don't care. See, that's the thing. It's, well, I have to get across, and I'm going to do it now, and I'm not going to walk a couple extra feet and obey the law. Respect for the law. How about this one? More than $13 billion worth of goods are stolen from retailers each year. That works out to $35 million a day. Here's a real staggering number. 1 out of 11 people will commit the crime of shoplifting. I want it. I'll take it. All right. So that's two things. Third thing, family is falling apart. Marriage is no longer until death do you part. I've probably done 40 to 50 weddings, and I'd say maybe half of them have taken, you know, that they're still married. The father, mother, and children, which is the basic biblical structure, is considered out of date and politically incorrect. Okay? In fact, we just had a thing at school. I forget what it was called, some destination day we do for our positive reward program. But it celebrated families. And, of course, and so they've got all these different kinds of families. You know? And it's not, so you can't put just mom, dad, and kids anymore. You got to have all the variations, right? Which is not how God set it up. And he did it for a reason. All right, how about this one? Reason number four. Humanity is a mess. I am the most important thing in my life is the mantra for today. Me. Right? Children are inundated with you can do it if you try. That's what we tell our kids at school. And there's variations on these, you know, little posters all over the place. Right? That tell, you know. Alright? How about this? Everybody is a winner. I saw one of my grandkids from one of my boys, you know, they were on a t-ball game or something. Everybody got trophies, yay. You know, because we don't want them to fail. Well, that's not going to help. And then, I love this, go into, they do still have bookstores, by the way. Barnes & Noble is the last thing I'm proud of. But go into a bookstore and go to the self-help section. It's huge, right? But what's really sad is go to a Christian bookstore and go to the self-help section. That is a no-no. Because God's going to be our help, right? And then my last one. Humanity is a mess. Political correctness rules. There is no absolute truth, right? That's what's being taught in high schools and colleges. There is no absolute truth. Nothing can be black or white. Fence sitting is allowed. Okay? My Bible doesn't read that way. So the basic attitude of the United States of America right now is we don't need or want God, if he even exists. I had a teacher tell me that the other day. I was saying something about how God had done something for me. She says, I don't believe that. If I get something good, it's because I did it. And I'm just thinking, lady, you need to talk to this guy in the Bible called Herod. And another guy named Nebuchadnezzar, both of whom said, I'm so great, God would know you're not. Okay. All right. So, Merry Christmas! I bet you didn't expect to hear all that when you walked in tonight.
I did.
Okay. However, I got one more fact for you. Despite humanity's total self-centeredness, God loves us. God loves us. You see, that is the message of Christmas. Love came down. Okay? Now I got to stop for a second because I noticed my voice got a little loud. My siblings were here Sunday, right? They didn't say a whole lot about my preaching. And I'm not sure how to take that at this point. But they did say, you're loud. And I said, well, I get excited sometimes. And when I do, I know my volume goes up. So that's the way it goes. All right. Anyway, that was my sort of introduction. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for bringing us together. Lord, as we go into the rest of this devotional you gave me, I ask that you would make sure the words I say are yours, the examples you give me are yours, so that we hear your truth. Lord, just as we say on Sunday mornings, we say it now. Everybody in this room is here because you brought them here. It is not an accident that they're here. It's not coincidence. It's not because they made the decision, even though they may think that. But you brought us, every one of us, and you have something for us to hear from you. We give you permission, Lord. Doctors, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Whoa, I ate too much. All right. So, God loves us. Why do I know that? Well, Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16. I was walking around the mobile home park, and one of the houses has a Christmas thing, and they have the John 3:16 banner in front of the house for Christmas. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, I told a little story about Charles Spurgeon and Joseph Parker yesterday, and I made my brother mad because he really likes Spurgeon. And the story I told made Spurgeon look kind of not so good. But Spurgeon is a great man of God. And listen to what he says here about God loving us. This is an incredible insight and really ties into what we've been talking about in Genesis. From all eternity, his delights were with the sons of men. His thoughts rolled onward to the time when his elect should be born into the world. Many a time before his incarnation, when he came down as Jesus as a baby, he descended to this lower earth in the similitude of a man. We talked about that, right? He visited Abraham. Who was it? It was a physical being, Jesus in the flesh, okay, the Lord. So, he has come down because he wants to. He came on the plains of Mamre. We talked about that. He came by the brook of Jabbok. He came beneath the walls of Jericho. That's one of my favorites. When Joshua was walking around, what am I going to do? Moses is dead. I'm in charge. We got this big city. And who shows up? The commander of the Lord's army. Jesus in the flesh, right? How about the fiery furnace of Babylon? Forget about that one. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and a fourth person.
Jesus.
All right. So, because his soul delighted in them, the Son of Man visited his people. He could not rest away from them, for his heart longed after them. Never were they absent from his heart. That just gives me chills. Because he's been watching us. He knows us before we're born. Okay? And he's just waiting for us to be born. Alright. Philippians 2, 5-12 puts it this way. Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of a man. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
All right? Love came down. It was proclaimed 2,000 plus years ago. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 14. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is blessed." Love came down. There has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. However, here's a quote from a guy named Major Ian Thomas. God did not send Jesus just to get man out of hell and into heaven. Now listen to the rest of it. But to get Jesus out of heaven and into man. Okay? You with me? All right. Now, when I was praying about all this, I had come up with, some cute little titles and, figuring where I was going to go for this message tonight. And I don't know if you have been here regularly, but you know I'm always talking to Lucy because she's our craft person. She makes all our little things here. And so I have these little sayings. Sometimes I'll flip her way, and sometimes I'll see her write them down, so I know I'm going to see them someplace at some point. So I'm sitting here thinking about these titles, right? The greatest gift of all. That's a good one, right? Or how about Jesus, the reason for the season? There's an original one. Or born to die.
No.
About from the manger to the cross. Well, as you just heard, there's much more to it than that. John 10:10. Listen to this. Jesus says, "I came that you may have life. And have it how? Abundantly." Okay? "I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." This is baby Jesus. It's now coming to that. That was good. John, I'll show you what Lucy did here, just say it. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. That does not mean loser. Okay? Anytime you see that, for me, that means life. Life in Jesus Christ. Life living in me. Living in and through me. All right? Major goes on to say, Jesus Christ is somebody who did his thing 2,000 years ago. He died to redeem me. His blood has cleansed me from sin. Now he's in heaven, and it's up to me out of my dedication, my love, my gratitude, and 1,001 other motivations to do my best down here for him up there."
Amen.
Amen. Nah, I sucked in on that one. That's wrong. That is wrong. Now, let me tell you why. See, the Christian life is impossible, people. The Christian life is impossible. Now, you got to listen to this. I love how the Major uses words. We need not only what he did when he died for what we've done, but we need what he is to take the place of what we are, because he's the only one who can. You hear it again?
Yeah.
Okay. I know. I'll have to put it on the website. Leslie will have to do that. Okay. We need not only what he did when he died for what we've done. Okay, so we need the cross. We need sins forgiven. But we also need what he is. And what is it? He's risen. He's alive. To take the place of what we are. Because when we become a Christian, what does he do? He invades us. His Holy Spirit takes over. And we become, because he's the only one who can do that. Right? Listen to Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live how? By faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." Love came down. A guy named Jeff Strike wrote this. "When God chose to reveal himself, he did so through a human body. The tongue that called forth the dead was a human tongue. The hand that touched the leper had dirt under its fingernails. I love that. The feet upon which the woman wept were calloused and dirty. And his tears, oh, don't miss the tears, they came from a heart as broken as yours or mine has ever been. So people came to him. My, how they came to him. They came at night. They touched him as he walked down the street. They followed him around the sea. They invited him into their homes and placed their children at his feet. Why? Because he refused to be a statue in a cathedral or a priest in an elevated pulpit. He chose instead to be Jesus. There were those who mocked him, who were envious of him, who misunderstood him, and there were those who revered him. But there was not one person who considered him too holy, too divine, or too celestial to touch. There was not one person who was reluctant to approach him for fear of being rejected. Think about that ministry when he was on earth. And that is so, so true. Love came down. At just the right time, Jesus came to be born, to live, to die, and to rise from the dead to offer us life. Now, I found a little song that I'm not going to sing.
Oh, dude. Come on.
It's written by Carrie Joby, and it goes like this. If my heart is overwhelmed and I cannot hear your voice, I hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. If the storms of life, they come, and the road ahead gets steep, I will lift these hands in faith. I will believe. I'll remind myself of all that you've done and the life I have because of your Son. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours, Lord. I'm forever yours. Mountains high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul, I am yours, I am forever yours. Isn't that cool? Love came down. Now, I don't know if you know that I'm a Peanuts fanatic. I have Charlie Brown and Snoopy everywhere.
And Lucy.
Linus. Yes. So, during the making of the animated Christmas classic, A Charlie Brown Christmas, Peanuts creator Charles Schulz had a meeting with Lee Mendelson, the show's producer, and Bill Melendez, its lead animator. The discussion concerned Schulz's insistence about including a New Testament scripture reading of the Christmas story from the Bible. The scripture reading was to be spoken by Peanuts character Linus Van Pelt in response to Charlie Brown's lament, "Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is about?" Mendelsohn and Melendez both voiced their concern about the reading, with Melendez telling Schulz, "Now, it's very dangerous for us to start talking about religion now." Schulz answered him by saying, "Bill, if we don't, who will?" In the end, the scripture reading was retained, and the CBS special was the second most watched show of the week when it debuted on December the 9th, 1965. Wow. I want to read to you now the entire passage. Linus only quoted verses 8 to 10 or something. I want to read to you just this passage from Luke chapter 2. I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. All right, so it's Luke chapter 2. And then I'll be done with our devotional. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of David, unto Judea, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David,
He was going to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of their Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, Whoa, let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying, which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. That's the message of Christmas. Love came down. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this message. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So Alice is going to come.